Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We are here. WGN is here 24-7 to keep you company, to keep you informed, and to get you through this. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to be talking about hoaxes that people actually believed. We've got some weird games that people came up with as kids. And classic Carson. We play some great stuff from the old Johnny Carson show, which you can see on Antenna TV every night. And we've been playing stand-up and some other bits. But one of the things that we're gonna play back this morning is legendary. It's the Don Rickles. When he was subbing for Johnny, he broke Johnny's cigarette box. And... And the rest is history. So we'll play that a little bit later on. We'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Lots of angles here about this situation that we're in. This is going to cost a lot of money. This is people are going to take a big hit. Lots of people are, not working, and the financial situation about the outbreak is important. And Herb Weisbaum joined us usually the first Friday of each month, but he's making a special visit this morning to give us some advice and talk a little bit about the financial situation associated with this. Herb, thanks for being with us.
Very welcome, Nick. Glad to be with you.
Yeah. Tell everybody about Herb Weisbaum then.
Sure. I live and work in Seattle, Washington. I write a weekly column or sometimes more for NBCNews.com, cover the consumer beat. I've been doing that for basically 40 years in my career now, trying to watch out for people and avoid the ripoffs, avoid the scams, try to get the good deals and good buys. And I can honestly tell you, Nick, for the last 3 weeks, I've done nothing but focus on the coronavirus because there are just so many aspects to the story that people just need good, solid, bona fide information. So I've been just cranking out as much information as I can to get to people.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is unprecedented, obviously, and these are territories that we've not gone down before. So we need help in every way. So, Herb, let's talk a little bit about how people can pay their bills. It's millions of Americans will run out of money, and how do you deal with the bills that you can't pay?
Sure. The story I wrote basically wanted to let people know that there are a lot of options that are taking place. The key right now is if you're out of work, if you've been laid off or furloughed or whatever, the key is you try to make the money you have last as long as you possibly can. That's the goal right now with time, to put off as many things as you can, delay as many things as you can, or cancel whatever, and conserve as much cash as you possibly can. And there are a number of programs available. They're different in every city and every state. But there are, for instance, many utilities have now agreed that they're not going to shut off service during the coronavirus outbreak. Many have agreed to work with people on late bill payments. Some are even offering for low-income people, offering to help you make your payments, or there's money available to make a payment. Of course, in your community, there's all kinds of things going on. People are helping with food, people helping with utilities. A really good place to start is the United Way. They are a clearinghouse for a lot of information for people who need some kind of help, that you can go to United Way and find out what's going on. We know that you can put off paying your taxes, so you now have till July 15th to file your tax return and to pay your tax return. If you are short of money, if you think you possibly could be laid off and short of money and you owe money, don't worry about paying your taxes right now. Get through the immediate crisis, and then you can pay your taxes off when that July deadline rolls around. So a number of things like that. The federal government has instituted a number of things to try to make it easier for people to get paid time sick leave, also unemployment benefits. Some states, in my state in Washington, I don't know what you're doing there, but they're making it easier for people to apply for unemployment benefits. I no doubt with what's going on in Illinois, they're probably doing the same kind of thing. There are credit card companies that are now working with people to try to help them if you have your credit card bills. So we can go through, I know, some of the specifics.
Yeah.
But the trying to make is there are a whole lot of things that are happening that are available out there. You've got to actually proactively go out there and look for them, and in many cases you've got to go out there and ask for it, but they are there. And to make it easier for people. I mean, I literally spent 9 hours writing this article. It's the longest article I've ever written for NBC. And it has all kinds of links and information, where you can go, what you can do. I'll take you right to the places. And it's available on my website, consumerman.com, right there on the homepage. But the key is there are things you can do and there are things you should do.
Okay. And you detail a lot of this stuff. Where do we start here?
Well, I think the first thing is, from the experts I spoke to, is that you need to communicate. If you're in a situation where you're facing that layoff, or if you've been let go for a while, or permanently or temporarily, you need to have good communication. You need that communication with your family, and you need to have communication with anyone you owe money to. So you need to proactively contact your credit card company. You need to proactively contact, if you have a mortgage or if you rent, your landlord or your mortgage company. You need to let them know, here is what's going on, car payment, that sort of thing. Here's where I am. Here's what's going on. Look at my credit history, my payment. I paid my bills on time. I'm in a very unique situation right now because of this corona. What can you do to help me? And odds are they have some kind of distress or emergency program in place to help you with various things. So the key, that's the first key. The key is to talk, communicate, contact them and say, I need help, I'm in trouble. Because in many cases, they're only publishing, like, we'll help people or we'll work with you, but they're not publishing details. And the only way you can get the specific help is to either contact them, or in some cases saying, download our app. Some credit company, card companies are saying, download our app and we can work with you on the app that way. So you've got to follow the procedures they have in place. But there's a lot of stuff in place already, and there will be more as this thing drags on. So that's number one. I guess number two is you've got to make what Bruce McCleary at the National Foundation for Credit Counseling said to me is a emergency budget. And what that means is you just have to sort of add up how much money you have, what's on hand from the paychecks you've gotten, and how much you have in savings that you can possibly get to, and then make a list of your bills to pay. And you might want to prioritize those bills and sort of see where you are. And that's how you can sort of figure out, you know, where you need to go with things. Find out which things you can, as I said, delay, which kind of things you can put off. Are there things in your budget that, you know, that shouldn't be there? Priorities are clearly the necessities: food, shelter, utilities, medical care, and transportation. That is it as far as the essentials go. If you can cut back on once, and you're going to have to cut back on once, such as entertainment, I know that's limited now because of a lot of things being closed, but if you have 5 streaming services, you don't really need 5 streaming services if you don't have a job. Takeout food is a luxury in most cases for people who are out of work. If you are working and can support a local restaurant by doing takeout, that's great. If you don't have income coming in, you can make your food a whole lot cheaper at home. And just to sort of think about those things, it could be postponed or gotten rid of or whatever. The cash is king right now, as I said. If you're out of work, you got to make that money last as long as humanly possible.
Yeah, and you've got all of this stuff detailed in the piece that people can see at consumerman.com. We want to talk more about this, Herb, and Herb Weisbaum is with us, and we're talking about how you can make sure that you're not going to run out of money during this crisis, and Herb is here for you. If you have questions or comments, it's 312-981-7200. Herb's going to give us more advice and tell us more about the pieces that he's written about this current situation. Herb Weisbaum, 312-981-7200.
There's a place where lovers go to cry their troubles away, and they call it Lonesome Town, where the broken heart stays. You can buy a dream.
It is Monday morning here on 720 WGN. I'm here till 4 o'clock, keeping you company, keeping you informed, and getting you through this. And we are here 24-7. WGN is on 24-7 to serve you and help you during this crisis. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you have a question. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's the Consumer Man. You can check out consumerman.com. And obviously, the financial hit that people are going to be taking during this crisis is big. And Herb has some advice on how you can pay your bills and all that. We will continue to talk about this piece that you wrote about how to deal with the bills that you can't pay, Herb.
Sure. Let's run down credit cards, because I know that's on a lot of people's minds. The Federal Reserve did cut the rate a week or so ago, which slightly lowered credit card interest rates, but that drop isn't really going to affect very many people. So if you're in a situation where your job has been terminated, you're out of work for a while, you're dealing with the fact that you may not be able to pay the credit card bill. Almost all the big companies have already announced some kind of program in place to help their cardholders. In some cases, they'll give you a temporary credit limit increase so you can actually put more on the card, something we don't exactly encourage, but these are desperate times and they call for desperate measures. Some will temporarily give you an interest rate reduction, which could help you a bit. Some give you what's called forbearance. You can miss a payment without a late penalty, but the interest still accrues. And a few companies, as I note in the story, have really stepped up to the table, and I want to go through those three. So yeah. Apple, which is backed by Goldman Sachs, sent an email to its cardholders telling them that they can enroll in what they call their customer assistance program, which they tell me will allow you to skip your March payment without incurring interest charges. So that's something with Apple Card, the Goldman Sachs card by Apple. American Express says that it has financial hardship assistance, which could include waiving late fees, return check fees and interest charges. And Capital One said it is working with consumers on an individual basis on steps that be taken, which could include no fees, minimum payment assistance, and deferred loan payments. So again, if you have these three cards or any other credit card, you should be contacting your credit card company if you're not able to make the payment and work with them and see what you can possibly do. Of course, if you can make the minimum payment, then make the minimum payment. That keeps you from getting a late charge. That keeps you from having any consequences with your credit score. Yeah, it's not going to pay, or as much as you can pay, let's put it that way. It's not going to, it's not a great thing in normal times. We try to get you to pay down your bills as much as possible. But I've talked to a whole bunch of financial people, and they basically say in this case scenario, if you are out of work, pay as little as you can. Just make sure you at least pay the minimum, because you need to keep that cash around for other stuff, like making sure you can keep your roof over your head and the utilities and the food and that sort of thing. So in this unique circumstance, the credit card is not one of your critical factors. Try to pay what you can, at least the minimum or what you think makes sense, and then keep the rest to pay all your other bills. But again, you've got to proactively contact them, Nick, because they're just putting little things on their websites, but you need to say, what can you do for me? Here's my situation.
Right. And every situation is unique, too.
And there's one more credit card thing that was shared to me by the folks at creditcards.com. If you have a really big balance at a really high interest rate, here's something you might want to consider doing, and I do it sooner rather than later before the credit card companies get flooded with this. There are what's called 0% balance transfer credit cards on the market. Basically, they will give you carry the balance. Just you can't make new charges without getting interest, but they will carry the balance with no interest. In some cases, up to 18 months. 12 to 15 is pretty common. In some cases, you can get that up to 18 months. So if you're able to transfer that big, expensive credit card balance onto one of these 0% balance transfer cards, you were able to stop the clock, the interest clock ticking for maybe 12, maybe 15, maybe 18 months. That can buy you a lot of time and can save you a lot of money. And there's no reason not to do it if you qualify for it. Most of these cards have a fee, 2 to 3% of the balance transfer, but there are some with no fee, and that's the way to go. And again, with my story, I have a link that will take you right to the creditcards.com website that will show you the cards that they recommend that have absolutely no fee whatsoever. So basically, you're just moving this money over for no charge whatsoever and stopping the interest clock from running. The interest clock will start once the time period runs out, but it's going to be running anyway if you left it on your other card at a really high interest rate. This is one of those things where that's a defensive move. It could actually save you a heck of a lot of money if you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there counselors available to talk to about these situations?
Absolutely. And a lot of people just need some guidance, some reassuring. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling has counselors all across the country. They're willing to talk to you by phone. They are willing to talk to you and individual. This is not like one size fits all. This is like, tell me your situation. Tell me what's going on. Let us figure out what kind of help we can give to you. The initial conversation is free. If they set up some kind of program, there may be a very minor cost based on your ability to pay. You can find two ways. You can go on the web to nfcc.org. That's the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. There's also a toll-free number you can call, which is when you get on that website, you'll have the toll-free number, And if you forget about this, it's the very bottom of my story on consumerman.com. But they will tell you what you need to focus on, what you need to do, what kind of assistance, what kind of help is available. It's really good to talk to someone, and these people are on your side. It's not somebody you're paying some money to. We'll solve your credit problem overnight. These are nonprofit trained credit counselors, and they have been trained for the situation that's going on right now. They can also, by the way, talk to you if you have problems with your student loans, because a number of the counselors have also been trained on student loan counseling. So that's a good place to go as well.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb, the consumer man, Weisbaum, is with us to give you some thoughts and advice on the financial aspect of what's going on in the world right now. We have some callers calling in, Herb.
Sure.
All right. Here's Denny on WGN. Hi, Denny.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I got a question about the possible stimulus checks that are going to be issued. If you're a senior, there are a lot of seniors that I see they're basing it on 2018 tax returns. A lot of seniors do no longer file a tax return because the only thing they receive is Social Security. And I wonder if those people are being considered for the stimulus check.
That's a good question. They don't have the answer to. You know, this is still being worked out. Congress hasn't even agreed to everything at this point in time. I would assume they must have ways to deal with people who haven't done that. Clearly, the government has your Social Security account on their rolls, and they'll probably account for something like that. But we won't know all the details until the federal government announces what they're going to do and exactly how they're going to pay it. But that's a really good question, and hopefully we'll know more in a couple of days if this thing passes Congress as it's expected to.
Okay. All right, Denny, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. 708 says, great show, Nick. Do you sell stocks now or is it too late?
Well, if you're in the market as an investor, which means you have money in the market that is basically for 3 to 5 years out or more, the advice that I've been given by the Motley Fool and everyone else that I've written stories about for this say you leave it alone because you can't time the market, and the market has already dropped so much now. The basic U.S. economy, despite what's going on, you know, the last time we had the crash in 2008, it was based because the economy wasn't stable. We were doing all kinds of crazy money things with mortgage loans and the banks and all that kind of stuff. This is something different. The economy is basically in place and basically stable. Yeah, we're going to take a hit, and it's going to be a big hit, and we're probably technically in a recession right now. But once the virus moves away and we find a treatment or a vaccine or whatever, the American economy should gear back up again. It's going to take a while, but it's not like there's an endemic problem with the economy. This is a health problem situation right now. The other thing is, so if your horizon is 2 to 5 years or more, as it should be if you're in the stock market, if you need money right away, your money should not be in the stock market. Do what I do what the Motley Fool's advising, and don't take your money out. The other thing they pointed out to me was, right now, for instance, in your 401k account or your IRA account, if you're making regular contributions, and you should still, by the way, they say, continue to make those contributions, because some people I see writing, well, I'm not going to contribute to my 401k anymore. Number one, the 401k or the IRA takes money off your income tax, what you owe. It lowers your income, so you pay less income tax right away. But number two, you're buying what you always want to do, buy low. You're now buying when the stock market is down. So when the stock market eventually comes up, you bought more shares at a lower price when the market eventually does come up, and it will, everyone says, may take a couple of years to get us back to where we are, but you'll have all those shares you bought at a really cheap price that will now be worth a lot of money. So no one's clairvoyant, no one knows what the market is as good as what we know today, but all the financial experts I spoke to, and I talked to a whole bunch of them from my story, they basically say if you're the long-term investor, that when you're playing the market for long, not playing the market, but investing in the market, you should be leaving yourself alone at this point in time. I guess if it's driving you so crazy that you can't sleep at night, maybe talk to your financial advisor and see what you want to do, knowing you're going to take an enormous hit and you're never going to know when to get back in the market at the right time. I would just say try to not look at your account. Leave it alone. If you don't need it, don't torture yourself. Grin and bear it, and someday we'll all see the rainbow at the end of this.
Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com. He's here to answer some of the questions and tell you, give you some advice on how to deal with this. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about on how people can deal with the bills that they can't pay?
Sure. Two very quick things.
Yeah.
Number one, someone contacted you guys. Tom, your producer, told me you got text about the income tax in Illinois. I want to make it really clear that the federal government put off the taxes till July 15th. That does not affect any state income taxes in the country. I know you get a whole 38 states at night. So
yeah.
Anyone living in a state where there is a state income tax, the federal government did not stop anything or change anything with your state income tax that you owe. So it's going to be up to the governors or the legislatures of your state or wherever it happens to institute a situation where they may delay it or whatever. I haven't heard of that happening anywhere. I just checked on the web. I couldn't find anything from your governor in Illinois at this point in time. But so just keep your eye out for that, but know that that's the situation. This has not affected what you owe for your state income tax.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, I just want to speak to the people who may be listening. I know you have a lot of truck drivers and stuff listening
yes,
tonight.
Yes.
If you still have a job, if you still have a good paying job, but you know you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, none of us do, and you have a little bit of extra money, please put it away now. We're all supposed to have that six-month rainy day fund that nobody has. The average American in this country cannot handle a $400 emergency bill. So if you're still working and if you're lucky enough to have a job, find some things to cut, figure some ways to cut back right now and build up that savings account. You just don't know when you might need it. So that's for everybody with a job. If it's possible that you're going to get laid off in the next cut, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Put some money aside now. You may very well need it. That was one bit of advice all the financial advisors gave me.
Okay. All right. Herb, hold on a second. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com, giving you some advice about the money situation that is going along with this crisis right now. And we've got more with Herb. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN.
What went wrong with our love? Although I felt so strong. Things we've done together while our hearts were young. I'm a walking in the rain. Tears are falling and I feel a pain. I wish you were here by me to end this misery.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And we're here 24/7. WGN is not going anywhere. We're going to keep you informed. We're going to keep you entertained. And we're going to keep you company. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Herb Weisbaum making a special appearance. He's normally with us on the first Friday of each month. But because of the situation and the COVID-19 situation, and that obviously is going to have some financial kickback on it, we wanted to have Herb on to talk about that. Herb, welcome back.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Nick.
Yeah, always. Always a pleasure. So there's another piece here from NBC News about many common household cleaning products that can kill the coronavirus if you use them properly. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I spoke to Dr. John Swartzberg. He's a friend of mine. I've used as an expert for 17 years. He is an expert on infectious diseases and a professor emeritus at the University of California, Berkeley School of Public Health. He also is the editor and the Berkeley Wellness Letter. And he had two really important things to say. While there are many bad things about the coronavirus, the one good thing is it's not a very hardy virus. It's very easily destroyed by most common disinfectants. That is true of the whole, and we know this because of the whole coronavirus family. This is one of many. This is a mutant of the coronavirus family that has been out there. So I spoke to Dr. Swartzberg. I spoke to the experts at Consumer Reports. I spoke to contacted people at the Environmental Protection Agency. I spoke to people at the University of Washington. They're infectious disease people to get some tips and things about cleaning, because I know that's on everybody's mind. And they all told me the exact same thing, that regular cleaning with normal cleaning supplies does a really good job of removing and killing germs, all germs, not just the coronavirus germs from surfaces. So what you want to do is you want to focus, and I think most people would figure this out, but you want to do the high-touch areas, the faucet handles, the doorknobs, the stair rails, countertops, things that you have your hands on all the time. And the best practice is to probably do this a couple of times a day. If people are coming and going in your house, obviously if they're by yourself, you're not going to infect yourself, but to do this. Be careful with commercial disinfectants. Some of these products you can buy are pretty serious chemicals, and the folks at Consumer Reports want to remind folks that these are EPA-registered pesticides that in some cases could cause asthma, trigger asthma attacks in some kids. So you want to try to use these things when the kids are not in that room and that sort of thing. I thought that was really, really important. And there are a lot of products that can work, but believe it or not, Nick, good old soap and water, the old standard, is not only good for your hands, but it's good for all the kind of things you want to do. It removes the virus particles that are on the surface or on your hands or on the kitchen countertop or on the doorknob or the handle or whatever, and it also suspends them in water and then it washes them away. So a good solution of soap and water, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And many of the products we use today, even though they're called soap products, they're really detergent products. So not only do they wipe away the germs and the bacteria and the viruses, but they also break the shell of the virus, this coronavirus, and kill the stuff that's inside or get to the DNA or the RNA inside, which is the problem, is how it replicates in your body. So by doing this kind of thing, you're doing both. You're wiping it away so there's less of them to infect you, and then you're also breaking the shell and killing it at the same time. So don't be afraid to think, oh, it's only soap and water. Soap and water is a really, really good way to clean a lot of surfaces around your house. And I was just reminded today by a group called Kids in Cars, and they said, don't forget to do things in your car. You know, if you're driving and going out and getting gas, the trucker's listening, you're filling up at the truck stop, you know, make sure you wear gloves if you can, or wipe down the pump handle or the screen you're touching before you do anything, and then wipe down the steering wheel and the shifter and maybe the screens that you touch. Be careful with the touch screens, because if you use a harsh chemical, you could damage the screen or the glare thing on it. So be really careful with what you do with that, maybe just a little bit of water kind of thing. Disinfect the car in that environment as well, the door handles, because you're getting in and out of your car, especially if you're touching the pump that everybody else has touched. So some good advice on that one.
Yeah, that's good advice. And we got a lot of truckers who listen to the show, Herb. We talk to them every night, and they're out there. They're still, you know, they've got to continue to drive, man. Otherwise it'll shut everything down.
Oh, absolutely, and God bless them for what they're doing. We've got to move this stuff around and, you know, try to keep the economy going as best as we possibly can. That's the goal right now, to keep as much going as safely as possible, because it's just necessary for everybody.
We got a couple of texts here, Herb. 219 says, I'm a CPA in Indiana, and I want you to know that Indiana has extended the tax deadline to July 15th.
Excellent. Okay, good.
And 262 says, Wisconsin changed the date for state taxes July, just like the feds.
Okay, good.
No word on our state, though.
well, when in doubt, check with your Department of Revenue or whatever it is. But I'm sure once it's announced, wherever those states are, that's going to be big news. You're going to see in all the news and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Let's see. Here is Carol on WGN. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I don't know if I'm going to ask this right. I have my Social Security check put into my checking account every month. I had one bank, which probably, I don't know how long ago, maybe 5 or 6 months, went out of business. I used to just take my daughter's car, because I don't have one, and drive over there and stick a check in the window and get my money out that I needed. My bank that I'm in now, Midwest Bank, when I wanted to go to the window, they gave me all different kinds of numbers I got to write down. And I just thought, listen, forget that. I'll just drive over there at 9 o'clock in the morning on the 3rd and go in there and write a check in front of them and take money from my Social Security money. Now I don't know if it's going to be open on April 3rd, and I don't know what those other numbers they gave me are, so that I could go through a window if a window's open. And if I can
all the money through the automatic teller machine right there at the bank, that's to your checking account, you should be able to do with that one.
I know, but the automatic telling thing at this bank, when you write a check, then you have to click in some numbers that they gave you, like I don't know if it's an ID thing or what. It's a whole different situation, and I don't know if...
Herb, go ahead.
If the bank branch is not open, and maybe they'll have a drive-up teller that will be open. A lot of banks are staying open with just drive-up tellers so they don't have to be in contact with you. If that doesn't work, then you need to call the bank. There's got to be a number somewhere that you have of your bank, and tell them your situation. You need to get into your ATM, reset my code that I need. They'll ask you for all kinds of information to identify who you are, but you're calling them, so that's fine. And they'll give you the code and help you get the money out of your of the ATM machine. But there's a very good chance that the bank will be open and that the drive-up windows will be open.
Right, and they want to keep business going. You know what I mean? It's very important that that we keep business going. You know, we be safe, but you know we have to stay. You know, we have to stay open.
Okay, does that help you?
Thank you, Carol.
All right, By the way, Nick, really good question about money. You know, a lot of people are starting to freak out and worrying about money, and they want to take all the money out of the ATM and stick it under the mattress and et cetera, et cetera. One of the 12 regional presidents, I'm sure I'm getting the title wrong, what his title is, but of the Federal Reserve banks all across the country, was interviewed by Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes tonight, and he helped guide us through the recession of 2008. There is absolutely no liquidity problem in this country. The Federal Reserve is there to put out as much money, and they have the authority and the power to put out as much money as needed to be. They're trying to get as much money in the economy as they possibly can. Your bank is not going to run out of money. Your ATM is not going to run out of money. Yes, there could be a situation where one ATM, if everybody's hit it at the same time and they didn't have people to reload the money, could be out of money. But the system is not going to run out of money. So you do not need to take all your money out of the bank and stick it under your mattress or whatever like that. There is no liquidity problem in this country whatsoever.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Herb Weisbaum is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We got another text here. 773 says, my grandson is graduating from high school and he would like stock as a graduation present. Is this a good time to buy it? Thanks.
Well, the advice is always buy low. It's probably not going to be at the lowest. You might want to give it a couple of days or so, but you know, if you believe in the U.S. economy and want to give them a little bit of stock, I wouldn't buy an individual stock at this point in time. I'd buy a mutual fund, something like a no-load mutual fund, a Janus fund or something like that, which is just buys a whole bunch of stock, so it reflects the 500 or the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I'd buy something like that and just let it ride for a while, and you'll be building for the future. Over the course of time, it's going to work out and be a lot of money. Personal story, when I was 13, my grandfather, a smart businessman, gave me 13 shares of Scott Paper stock. And at that point in time, because I have a note in my scrapbook that my grandfather wrote to me, and they were valued at $300. And as I said, he was a smart businessman, and he said, these will always be worth and go up in value because people will always need toilet paper. Boy, wasn't he prescient.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, the stock went up, it went down. I think when he bought it, it was like 22, it went up to 60, it went down, it split. Kimberly Clark bought him, it was all over the world. I just left it alone. It was a present from my grandfather. About 5 or 8 years ago, we needed to make a donation to the local synagogue because they wanted we were doing an endowment fund. And I said to my wife, my grandfather would really love this. Can I take out whatever's in this account and give it to the endowment fund? And she said, sure. We looked at that account, Nick, which was worth $300 when I was 13, right?
Yeah.
$19,500.
Wow.
That is what's called leaving it alone and letting the market work its magic and compound interest, because the dividends went back in to the account and bought more shares of stock. When it was low, it bought more. That's the beauty of the stock market, if you leave it alone and make it your long-term investment.
Wow. That's great. That's really, really great. Great advice, too. Okay, Herb, hang on.
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's great, and he's the Consumer Man. You can check out consumerman.com. A couple of more money-related issues with the virus situation here on 720 WGN. And if you want to call or text, it's 312-981-7200.
You can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me, sail right around all the seven oceans, drop it straight into the deep blue sea,
Tupelo, honey. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. WGN is here 24-7 to keep you informed, to keep you company, and to give you all the information that you need. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's the consumer man. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Herb, if people have a paycheck, a steady paycheck coming in, and some people are concerned that maybe that is going to stop, what's your advice on them, putting some money away for the future?
Well, you want to put it away for some, you want to try to build up that emergency fund. I mean, the rule has always been 6 months, which, as I said, most Americans only put about $400 away. Now is the time to get as much as you can sock away. Put it in something that's liquid. You want to be able to get to it quickly. A good thing to start is a high interest checking account. So you can try your bank or your credit union, but right now checking accounts and even savings accounts aren't paying very, very much. But if you go online to a online high yield bank, there's like the Allies and the American Express has a personal savings bank. There's various banks you can look on and look for the top rated ones. They're paying now, they were paying up until recently over 2%. With the interest rate drop, it's probably a little lower than that. It's probably a point and something. But you're going to get a lot more for your money that way. And you can immediately transfer it, like instantaneously, within a day. You just go on the computer and transfer it to your checking account at your bank or your credit union. So that will give you liquidity, and that will also give you a way to make a little bit of interest in your money if you have any sizable amount that you put away. Okay. I want to, one thing that I said before, because I didn't want this mistake to go on. So the gentleman who asked about buying the stock, and I said to get a index fund is the best way to go for his kid. I got the name of the fund wrong, and I want to correct that. So what you want to get is an index fund. An index fund buys a mix of funds like the S&P 500, and because they're not trading it like some of these other places, you're paying a really, really low fee, or no fee, but almost no fee at all. So you're making more on your money. So the top five are Fidelity Zero, Large Cap Index. I meant to say Vanguard. That's the one I wanted to say. Oh, Vanguard. Yeah. 500. Yep. You got the Spider S&P, and you got the iShares Core, and you got the Schwab has one. There's a lot of these ones really low, in some cases no fee. You'll make the most for your money. You're playing the whole market. You're not trying to pick which stock's going to be a winner or loser. None of us are smart enough to do that. If you go to bankrate.com, they have a list of the best index funds for March 2020. I just wanted to make sure I corrected that and got the names of those right. I was thinking of Vanguard was the name I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of people, as we know, Herb, are working from home.
Yep.
And you wrote a piece about some rules that you should follow if you are telecommuting.
Yeah, you really got, I've been doing it now. I do a lot of times because I do various things, but I've been talking to people who've done it at home for the first time. And it's a challenge, when you got the kids at home and everybody's at home and the whole thing's going on. So besides the safety fact, which I talked about in this article, you've got to really set up some protocols and procedures if you're going to start working from home. You got to set up an hourly system or when you're going to work, and you've got to have some, the kids can be in the kitchen, maybe learning with the school, and you want to be in your office or do something if you possibly can, and just, set up some boundaries and some rules like that. That's really critical. If you're going to access your corporation's servers, you have to use the portal that they've set up. And if you don't know what that is, contact your IT department and find out, because they want you going through their servers. And if for some reason you get on and do something that's not right, like I did with mine the other day, I had a virtual private network set up on my computer, which made their computer think I was doing something funky. They were about to shut me down, and I wouldn't have been able to do any work from home until I got through the IT department, which is not always an easy thing to do. So make sure you know the rules from your IT department, and don't try to get on. If you've had a system in the past where you like try to get on your desktop with something like TeamViewer or one of these things where you can like watch the mirror image of your website, your desktop at work, that's not the way you get on anymore. You want to get on through the real portal of your company, whatever safe portal they've established. If you decide to go out and you got to have I don't think we can do coffee shops anymore, but you got to go out somewhere where there's Wi-Fi. Maybe you go to a drive-in coffee shop and then sit outside and there's Wi-Fi outside or something. You've really got to be careful that public Wi-Fi is public Wi-Fi. Anybody can be paying attention to what you're doing. You should always have a VPN, a virtual private network, on that laptop It encrypts everything that you do and before it goes out of your device into the Wi-Fi that's there and back and forth. So no one can eavesdrop. No one can know what you're doing. I use one called NordVPN. It's very highly rated. You can check with tech magazines and see which ones they like, but that's one. You may have to pay for it. I would never get a free VPN. I want to pay somebody that's working for security and not trying to do something funky. And I guess the last advice is if you're going to do something from work from home and you work for a company, use their equipment. You should always use the authorized equipment that they have because it's going to be a lot safer and it probably has more security protocols built in than what you have on your stuff. So if you have a laptop from the company, you probably should use the laptop or at least talk to them if you're going to do something else because that's probably a better way to go. Same thing if you have a corporate cell phone and that sort of thing. The last thing you want to use is the home computer where the kids and everyone is accessing all kinds of stuff on the internet and watching videos and doing all kinds of stuff because chances are if there's a computer that's infected in your house, it is that computer. So you want to be really, really careful. And then there's all kinds of scammers out there now, Nick. They are trying to take advantage of this in so many ways. But what they're doing is they're sending out phishing email. They're going to try to make it look like anything, a bank, a credit card, your lender, your company. They can hack corporate email accounts, and they're going to ask you to click on a link to do something, or they're going to ask you to open an attachment to read something. Do not do that, especially if you're working from home, because what they could put is a keystroke logger on your computer. They could see every single thing you are doing, steal all your corporate information, the passwords, that kind of thing. Oh, and the opposite of that is you got to make sure you have really good, up-to-date software on your computer, a security suite. So all your programs, all your apps should be updated, not just for functionality, but you do that for security. If they're not updated, they could be vulnerable. You want to make sure you get all that done, and then you want to make sure you have a security suite, whether it comes with your cable company or you have your own. It's got to, and it's a subscription. It's got to be updated and paid for, and you got a daily. It's got to be every day automatic download because these things change so rapidly. You've got to protect that because you're now protecting corporate secrets if you're using your own computer to do work from home.
Okay, and there are 8 rules total that you should follow, and this article is available at consumerman.com. And it's interesting to see how many people are going to have to adjust. You know, it's a big deal.
Well, the other point is, you know, as you know, I live in Seattle, and my last day from working at home was from working at work was on Tuesday, and I was coming home at rush hour, and normally that would take me an hour to get home to Bellevue, Washington, 14 miles away, 13 miles away, an hour, and I got home in 27 minutes.
Yeah.
And that gives you an idea. I mean, Amazon is working from home, Microsoft is working from home, Google is working from home, Facebook is working from home. I mean, all these people, the University of Washington is out, the schools are out. You know, a lot of people, we're going to learn a lot about whether we can adapt society a little bit and make it possible for some people maybe to work from home a little bit more when this is all through and we get out to the other end.
Yeah.
So
779 area code says, my daughter is a stay-at-home mom for the last 5 years. Will she be eligible for a stimulus check?
Well, we don't know the rules. They haven't specified everything like that. But if she filed an income tax return at all, the chances are she will get something. But again, we won't know all those details until the Congress passes whatever they pass and decide out how they're going to dole the money. But I'm sure they're going to get it to as many people as humanly possible.
All right. Now, you've been covering this for, you've been working hard on this, this whole situation. But, you know, just on a personal note, how's Seattle doing? Because, you know, that was kind of the epicenter for a while.
It's really scary. We've had 2,000 confirmed cases so far and 95 deaths. And, you know, the frustration here by our mayor and our governor are very much like your governor. We couldn't get the supplies we needed. We're not getting the stuff we needed from the federal government. You know, you can't know where you are if you can't do testing. We have a lot of research going on here, which is a bright spot. University of Washington, a lot of the biotech firms or, you know, some of the first trials on the vaccine are taking place here. Some people are not taking it seriously enough. You know, it was a bright, sunny weekend. A lot of people are out at Alki Beach, our local beach, and way too close together. And there's a push on the governor to do a stay-at-home like your governor has done, to just make it obvious to people, no, we can't do this anymore. And he's getting a lot of heat to do that kind of thing. So there's some of that going on. You know, I just can't say, you know, we're either, my belief is from talking to all the experts I've talked to, we're either going to take a lot of pain early on or we're going to take a lot of pain for a longer time. And I think it's better if we all just work together, we're all in this together, take the pain early on, we're going to get through it, we're going to come out to the other end, but we just have to make some personal sacrifices right now, and going to the beach or going to a restaurant, if the restaurants aren't closed, not takeout, but sitting there with other people, you just can't do that anymore.
No.
absolutely can't do that anymore. And with seniors who are listening, you know, I read some of the latest research tonight. It appears that a lot of kids can be transmitters, but they don't get the symptoms. This virus, they think, can transmit 2 weeks before any symptoms show up, and some kids don't get symptoms at all. You got to really shelter the seniors. We don't want to try to do a short term. Hey, I got to see the grandkid. Really, really sick. That's a really important.
All right, Herb, always a pleasure. I thank you for making this special appearance. You're helping a lot of people out, man. It's very important.
My pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, Nick, and you take care, okay?
Okay, buddy, take care. There you go. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. He's the best. 312-981-7200 is the phone number on 720 WGN.